with the second part of the message I preached before I went to Akwanga. And let me use this opportunity too to tell you that the Northern Believers Convention was a big success. Big success. And I give all the glory to God. We never expected that crowd that came there. We never expected it. Long beyond our imagination. And testimonies, healing, deliverance, baptized so many people. It's a big revival there. We didn't know that what we are saying here has so much effect up north. And it's an annual program because things have gone up. We used to all gather here, but we decided cost of transportation to come here is so much. Let's make it. Those in the south can all come to Lagos. Those in the north, let's meet in the central part of the north. Akwanga is very central. It's in Nasarawa State. Very, very central. And it was worth it. They will not forget that meeting for a long time. Thank you very much, all the prayer groups that stood here for us. I understand that all the prayer groups had one program or the other dedicated to that convention.
That's right.
I told the prophets that you will discover that the way you enter the spirit, you know that it is not because you were praying or you fasted or anything. The fire was from Lagos. The fire was from Lagos. We must give honor to whom honor is due. Thank you very much, all of you that stood behind us interceding for us. You watched it. It was televised live and all over the world watched and saw what is happening.
Amen.
And I'm happy that the worship songs were more in Hausa. So I had a relief from Igbo songs. I had some relief from Igbo songs. Praise the Lord. Somebody told me yesterday, when I said I'm from Nasarawa State, they say, eh? They thought I'm an Igbo man. I say, yes. They have made me an Igbo man. Well, in heaven, there is no Igbo, there is no Hausa. Hallelujah. Our language is Christ, and Christ, and Christ, and Christ. God bless you. God bless you. And we looked at the lessons we are to learn from the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part two. Lessons from the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's be guided by this. It's important I make this comment as we continue after the first temptation. We are going to the second temptation today. That I want you to note that the prophecy that God himself gave after the fall of man. Listen very well. This will help you understand the sermon topic also of our Sunday school teacher today, the ministers of gathering. And they are still gathering here. They are gathering all over the world. Listen. Apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, maybe we read that first. He made this statement.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
The mystery of iniquity, as at that first church age, he said it is already at work.
Only he will not let it will let until he be taken out of the way.
And that is the Holy Ghost. The mystery of iniquity. So that you will understand why in Matthew 7:21 and verse 22, listen to how it is put there.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Uh-huh.
Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?
Verse 23.
And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity.
You see, they are the workers of iniquity because there is the mystery of iniquity. And the mystery, if it is not decoded for you, you will never understand it. That's why. Even salvation itself is a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
Uh-huh.
Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught.
Uh-huh.
But we speak the wisdom of God
in a mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom.
This mystery is a hidden wisdom.
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Uh-huh.
Which none of the princes of this world knew.
None of the princes of this world knew it.
For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord.
If they had known what would be the effect of killing the Lord Jesus Christ, it will produce followers like this all over the world. It will produce redemption, salvation. They will not have killed him. If they had known this mystery, they would not have killed him. There is, for the salvation of the Gentiles also, it is a mystery. Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 1 to 6, read it.
For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery.
The what?
The mystery.
The mystery. There is another mystery. Read on.
As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
Yes.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
Yes.
As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
What is the mystery?
That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. And partakers of his promise in Christ.
Why is it a mystery? You just go to church and you are serving God. You don't even know what you are doing. And because you don't know what you are doing, you won't achieve the purpose of the salvation of the Gentiles. Why the gospel came to us. The greatest problem in Christianity is the spirit of religion. Every day, up till the early hours of this morning, in my personal prayer, I gave God thanks for the way he saved me. How did he save me? He saved me independent of the influence of any denomination. He prepared me for this job I am doing now. I have never been a member of any denominational church. I have never been to any Bible school. I've never been to any school of theology. But when I gave my life to Christ, he gave me an insatiable desire to know him. I was studying to know this God as if I'm going to write an exam. I wanted to know this Jesus. I wanted to know this God. I wanted to know how he operates. So that I will know how to relate with him. And if you are studying this Christian faith, you will ask questions. When you take your eyes away from the Bible, which is supposed to be our guide, you will ask questions. The problem with us is we are not studying. See, when Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
That first statement, to show yourself approved unto God, most of us study to line up with the GO of the church. You study so that you can fit into the church you belong. Therefore, you don't study to be approved by God. If you study to show yourself approved by God, you will have problem with some of these Jews. You will. Because too many things that contradict what is in this scripture. This is the only problem. When I started studying, where I gave my life to Christ, I explained to that young man yesterday, was inside the prison yard. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Criminal are criminal, plus the one where they catch, the one where they no catch, all are criminals. You don't go to prison because they never catch you. Nobody say you no be criminal. So don't think there's anything shameful. And I say, anytime I remember prison, I remember when the Lord visited me. When the mercy of God reached me. I was lost and undone without God, nor his son, when he reached down his hand for me. Can never forget that day. When he opened my eyes to know that I was living a useless life, that if I die, I am finished. It was in the prison. Some of you, it was in the hospital. Some of you, it was in frustration. Some of you, now when you die, finish, you jam and somewhere in the spirit, he can't send you back. When you wake up, he say, yeah, I forgot hello. You begin to look for God. Whatever it is, he has various means of catching us. I'm saying this to challenge people who want to go to heaven. Not people who want to go to church, looking for a church to belong. They'll stand and fight for their pastor. I see their pastor is their savior. Listen, when every day redeem will come, Foursquare will come. It was even when Foursquare came that I gave my life to Christ. It was under Foursquare minister that day that I received the Holy Ghost. Now, if I was not studying, wouldn't I be Foursquare for the rest of my life? Wouldn't I be Foursquare? But shortly after, I started teaching that minister Bible. Because I happen to know some things that he didn't know up thereafter. That is evidence of the Holy Ghost. Listen, church, when we say these things, it looks as if we are proud. We are not proud. We are only trying to say it in a way that will catch your attention. I may be rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Follow who no road. I know road. Now they show you so. Listen. Baptist will come. Anglican will come. Every day was fellowship. Some have two churches in a day. Your own time is from this one to this time. This one from this one to this time. If the other one spends some extra minutes of the other people's time, fight will come. Grumbling will come. And so, in my innocence, I will ask. I started studying. When did the Church of Jesus Christ that I am reading from the Acts of Apostles, when did it break to redeem Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, choosing Zion? Who again? Sele? Christ Embassy and all the names you know. When did it break to that? That is the problem with all of us that are going to church. If you are a Christian today and you don't know what I am telling you now, you have not asked questions to know why are we like this, you are only a religious person.
That's right.
You are the type that is prone, very vulnerable to deceit. Because you have no guide, nothing to check what you are hearing. Something happened. Go to church history. Then you will know how the church that started got to where we are today. That is why I have known too much after my study to find out. I mean, to for anything to happen. Then I say I'm going to a denominational church. Any of these funny places. When you and I know, even common sense should tell you that some of these churches are churches of mommy and daddy and not churches of Jesus Christ. You know it. You know it. Yet you will go there and submit. May God help us. It is this knowledge we have that we are trying to share with you. Do you see me preaching myself? I'm not preaching myself. Did I tell you that Brother Assembly is the perfect church? No. Every true church has mixed multitude.
That's right.
Even in those denominations, there are children of God there. Amen. But they are caged. God will deliver them one by one in Jesus' name. In Brother Assembly here, there are tears here. In Brother Assembly here, I'm not deceived. I'm not deceived, though, that you may be a member of the Brother Assembly Church, but may not be a member of the Bride of Jesus Christ. It is certain. I don't deceive myself like that. This church has been on for the past 26 years. This church started with 4 people. And we are here now after 26 years. Do you know that this is the church? This church is like a flowing river. Oh. Do you know what the history, what we have gone through here?
Veteran.
Do you know that I have had a pastor, my associate pastor, who is supposed to be the next to me in this ministry, that we go to ministers, these prophets, and say, what are you doing here? Do you know if you live here, start your own, do you know how much you will make? Do you know this? In this church. Okay now. Please, I want to leave. Can you sponsor me? Looking for the rich people in the church. Sponsor me. Yet, he was here as if this Bible is true. When Bible says, listen, it says Satan has his ministers.
That's right.
And that is the mystery. There is also, while there is the mystery of iniquity, there is also the mystery of godliness. What is the mystery of godliness? It's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16.
And without controversy,
uh-huh.
Great is the mystery of godliness.
Yes.
God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into
Why
glory.
Why is it a mystery? That prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, immediately man fell. The provision for our salvation was announced. It was announced. It was planned already. But it was announced in verse 15.
And I will put enmity between
thee. Start from verse 14.
And the Lord God said unto the serpent,
yes,
because thou hast done this.
Because you have done this.
Thou art cursed above all cattle, uh-huh, and above every beast of the field.
He's talking to the serpent.
Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
He said that he will put enmity between thy seed. Serpent, you will have a seed. I'm saying this for those who just join us, don't know what. Old members, you already know this doctrine. That means the serpent will have a seed. The woman will also have a seed. That woman there is not Eve. That woman there is Israel. The same woman that is described in Revelation chapter 12. The seed of the woman, the Bible tells us that seed of the woman is not Abel. And the seed of serpent is not the Cain. In the light of that prophecy, that is the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of godliness. It is Jesus Christ is the seed of that woman. Israel is the woman. And if you read it in Revelation chapter 12, you see the picture there. Please, I'm only summarizing this to give us a picture. and he is Christ. If the seed of the woman will be fighting with the seed of the serpent, and the seed of the woman is Christ, oh, glory be to God. The seed of the serpent will be the Antichrist. And if the seed of the woman will be a human being, the seed of the serpent will also be a human being. If the seed of the woman is the fullness of God in manifestation in the flesh, the Antichrist, the seed of the serpent, will also be the fullness of Satan. He will be a Satan and incarnate. And people are busy watching. I have preached a message. Go and look at it. Behold the Antichrist. Yeah. Hey, he's coming. He's a Muslim. Hey, this one. And it's Martin Weshake. He's an Antichrist. He'll be 666. And somebody put a tattoo 666. Say na him be that. It's all a decoy to deceive people. Take attention from where the Bible tells us the Antichrist is coming from. And the identity of the Antichrist in the Bible. The prophecy that was given to Daniel, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, what did he say? Daniel chapter 9.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
Wait, first, start from verse 26.
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be
listen
cut
very
off,
well, listen very well.
But not for himself.
Yes.
And the people of the prince that shall come.
The people of the prince that shall come.
Shall destroy the city and the
they
sanctuary.
They will destroy the city.
And the sanctuary.
They will destroy the sanctuary.
And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the world desolations are determined.
That is when the tribulation will take place. Listen, there is a key there now. Look at history. Christ prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. He prophesied in Luke chapter 19 and verse 43-44.
For the days shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with thy ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another.
One stone upon another will
because
not be
thou left. Knewest not the time
because
of their visitation.
Because they rejected the time of their visitation, they rejected Jesus Christ. Jerusalem was destroyed, everything destroyed. And this happened in AD 70. History is at play.
Luke,
prophecies.
Luke 21:20.
Go ahead.
And when ye shall see Jerusalem.
And when you will see Jerusalem.
Compassed with armies.
With armies.
Then know that the desolation thereof.
The desolation that Daniel spoke about has come to pass. Go to Matthew 24 again. When you see the abomination that make it desolate. Spoken about Daniel the prophet. Stand in the holy place.
Matthew 24:15.
Yes.
When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso read it, let him understand.
Then he told them what to do.
Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains.
This has come to pass in AD 70. General Titus was sent from Rome to come there, and we know the history. They've started by surrounding the city. Amen. Jesus Christ said, when you see that happen, the prophecy that the whole place will be destroyed, the destruction will take place. When you see, better run. No. Right. It happened in AD 70. And those soldiers came and destroyed the city and scattered all of them, took them for slaves, scattered him all over Europe and the rest part of the world. And they remain like that. The whole place, the whole city of Jerusalem, the whole land of Israel remain in desolation until 1948. And they are coming back. It's also in the Bible. And they are coming back. They are coming to stayed together because the punishment was because they rejected Christ. Therefore, Christ turned to the Gentiles. When the fullness of the Gentiles has come, when we will go in the rapture, then he will turn back to his people and reveal himself to them for their own revival. But, hallelujah, they are coming back now to receive their Messiah according to the Bible prophecy. You can read that in Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, 39. When you see this thing, and it happened in 1870. Now my problem, the pointer there is, he said, and the people of the prince that shall come. The people of the prince that shall come. The prince that shall come is the Antichrist. The people of the prince that shall come. The people of the prince, they will come to destroy Jerusalem. Where did those people come from? Where did them people come from? Answer me now. They came from Rome. The prince to come, therefore, is coming from where? The Antichrist is coming from where? So where are we supposed to watch? Praise the Lord. So you see, I say, follow who no road. Hallelujah. So that you understand that battle between Christ and the Antichrist spiritual is what is going on till now. That is the mystery of iniquity. That is what Jesus Christ referred to as the gates of hell. But he said they shall not prevail. He said the seed of the serpent will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. That is the progress of the church. Progress of the church. He is after the progress of the church. Satan is referred to as a roaring lion, going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And we are to resist him. How will you resist him? It's through knowledge of the word, because it's only by the word that you know that you can resist him with. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What does he want to achieve? His motive is to steal, kill, and destroy. Kill, steal, and destroy what? He's in the ministry to destroy fellowship of the brethren. And is he not destroying it all over, even in bride assembly, how we are battling to keep us together and through one love? He destroys love. When love among brethren is destroyed, no more fellowship among brethren. Therefore, the strength of the church is destroyed. It's there to also destroy fellowship with God by enticing us with sin. Things that God hates. Prayer of sinner, God will not answer. Therefore, he makes us commit sin so that we disconnect from God. He comes to steal our liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He comes to steal that liberty. Enter and until we are all suspicious. When the Lord is moving in his people, because of experiences we have had, we don't even know whether this gift is genuine or this gift is not genuine. Because we have people who are smuggling and acting so that they will receive microphone as preachers or as gifted people with motive, different motive. And because of our experience, every prophecy going, we are suspicious. Kai, how can a human being know phone number? Are you sure this man, know the column, he called the right phone number? You said receive healing, deliverance. They say, arrange. Because there is such thing happening in the church, in churches. Every gift can be impersonated. If it is not impersonated, then strange fire is used. They bring all manner of spirits, all manner of things in the church. So the liberty of the spirit, we lose it. It's completely destroyed. And all this, what is it achieving also? To kill our faith. Destroy our faith in God. He came over to steal and kill. Physically, he killed Abel. He's the one that inspired Herod to kill everyone after the birth of Christ. When those wise men from the east came to Pharaoh looking for the king that is born, he is the same one that inspired Herod to kill anybody from 2 years old down. It was Jesus he was looking for to kill. Eventually, he caught the Jesus and killed that Jesus. He discovered the gospel is still going through the apostles. He still grabbed the apostles one by one. He killed them. He commanded to steal, kill, and destroy. And when he killed, and the gospel will not die, it was increasing, he decided to kill the gospel itself, to kill the light. And that was when he used all the tricks, his devices. He brought Christianity and paganism and married them together. And then you see what is happening in the churches today. Give birth to that Catholic church that today is described as that woman in Revelation chapter 17. As a harlot. And the mother of harlots. God produced the denominational harlots. And produced the dark ages. Almost 1,000 years. No gospel was preached. You are not allowed. If you say anything other than what they believe, they kill you. They tag you a heretic and they kill you. When did it happen? It happened at that Nicaea Council in AD 325. Yes. And that was when he quickly came and planted tares in the church to cause confusion until you don't know whether this is a real seed or this is not a real seed. Everything mingled up. And then they are always of high interest. I mean, influence. Before you know what, that's why they say evil communication corrupts good manners. Yes. You see them and you say, by their fruit, you will know them. He recruited his ministers. Satan has ministers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, from verse 13.
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Oh, that is angel of light. That is Satan has a church. He's preaching the gospel. Satan is preaching the gospel. Okay. Go ahead.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also...
Satan has his ministers also that are transferred as ministers of righteousness. But their end will prove who they are. That is what the emphasis. So that you understand why we say some things that we say here. So that you understand why we take certain actions that we take here. We will not allow anyhow thing happen around here. We need a place where we can meet with God. Where children of God they can come and have true fellowship with God and with one another. Not a political arena where people are looking for food to eat. Their God is their belly. Romans chapter 16, what did he say? He said, mark them. Mark them. Mark them that cause division.
Romans 16, verse 17.
Read it.
Now I beseech you, brethren.
Listen.
Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned.
We are supposed to bring people together
and avoid them.
Mark people who worship with you, take communion with you, and all they specialize in doing is speaking negative things against fellow brothers to fellow brothers and sisters. This spirit can catch anybody because the people that do that, they are not ordinary members. They are usually members of influence. Just sit down and all I will do is to talk about negatively about another minister. To tell you the greater hypocrisy in this thing. The hypocrisy is too much. They are usually very, very shameless. No conscience. I'm speaking evil. Bringing down Olumide before you. Anytime you call me after service today, I am only going to talk about another minister. Then during service, you see me hugging him. Do you have a conscience? That is who they are. How can you be a Christian and love to just be bringing down people? And they will do it very subtly. You listening, you don't know that they are recruiting you, injecting poison into your mind against somebody else. And it is worse. I am telling you this thing. I said it and I've said it years back. We are not yet restored church. We never get there. Because it's not with mouth. It's not with mouth. God himself will do it. You know, for years I've been saying it, that the evidence that this church is a truly restored church, what happened between Ananias and Sapphira must happen here before our eyes. If it doesn't happen, we are not yet restored. We are not yet restored. That would be the evidence. Somebody will come to church, want to sit down, the seat will reject you sitting there. You say, what did happen? You change seat for and the seat will go wrong, leave them. When we say these things, you can see with the anger, because there are things I know. If I open my mouth and tell you, you really see, say, God call me. That I'm able to bear with such people. I get grace. I get grace. Oh. The grace to tolerate nonsense is a high grace. It's a high grace. 1 hour on the phone. What am I talking about? Talking about a minister to another brother in the church, to another sister in the church. You are a devil. In fact, both you listening and the person talking is the same spirit. You are devils. And you don't know the spirit that is pushing you to do it. The spirit against the progress of church. And see, this church, you know, that there are some people that can be borrowed vessel. So we are not a child of God because you're operating any gift. The evidence that I am a true seed of God is not that I'm a preacher. Preaching is a gift. He giveth his gift to all men, even to those who hate him. It is their fruit. And if you are doing any bad thing and your conscience does not judge you, you are a serpent seed. I repeat, let me make it very clear. If you are doing any bad thing, secretly or openly, and your conscience doesn't judge you to stop, the Spirit of God you claim you have doesn't condemn you, and God doesn't punish you for what you are doing so that you will stop it, it is number one evidence that you are not a seed of God. You are a serpent seed. You are the one they build fire for. Because such a person, there is nothing to check him, so there is no level he will not go with his wickedness. We are preaching here to build the people together. They are busy scattering. God will judge all of you. Whether you answer amen or not, God will judge them. It's very painful. We are taking people together. Some are in the midst of scattering. But when we see that they are fulfilling prophecy, we are consoled. Amen. Because prophecy must be fulfilled. But that doesn't stop my anger against them.
Part of knowledge.
Some of you are the smile only with mouth. Inside my heart, are they vexed for you? That's the truth, because of what I know. And they are very smart. Be very, very careful when you want to check them. It is in Lagos here, I see, in those days, where you shout, thief, thief, thief. You really saw the thief, oh? When people are coming, they will turn it against you. Before you know what, everybody will start to chase you and leave the thief. It happened for church. Okay, now. So be very, very careful. If not, the thief, when you fight, they go wrap them around you. Before you escape, next time when you see, you're not going to talk again. But the foundation of God standeth sure. What is the seal? The Lord knoweth them that are his. And he added there.
And let them
that name the name of the Lord do what?
Depart from iniquity.
Depart from your evil ways. When I say, follow who no road. Listen. Follow who no road. The man that God gave us to show us the way is not Pastor Moses. There is one mediator between God and man. There is one high priest of our profession. No man knoweth who the Father is, but he that came from heaven, from God. What is his name? What is his name?
Lord Jesus Christ.
The Bible says we are called to conform to his image. Romans 8:29, what did he say? We are called,
for
this is our destiny.
For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
So, if you are a brother of Jesus, you will look like Jesus. When the Bible says, let us make man in our image, we didn't know how that image looked like until Jesus Christ came, and Apostle Paul said that Jesus, in Colossians 1:15, he is
the image of the invisible God.
He is the image of the invisible God. So what God wanted to achieve in the Garden of Eden that Adam destroyed, that is it in Jesus. So every day, don't look like your pastor. Don't put on the image of your pastor. Look to conform to the image of Jesus. That is our destiny. And then Jesus said, I am the way. He is the way. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Who no road? Who is the person that no road? Who is the person that no road? Follow Jesus. And this is how you will follow him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All of you that preach prosperity, Jesus on earth was not known for prosperity. Prosperity preacher, prosperity churches, nothing like that. Jesus Christ was known for suffering so that his brethren can be saved. How will you identify that Jesus? By the designer cloth he wear? Eh? By the private chest that he owned? By the size of the church he built? He didn't even have money to pay his tax. How did the Bible describe him? Isaiah 53. From verse 1.
Who had believed our reports?
Yes.
And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
Can you see?
He is despised and rejected of men.
So why are we thinking that the more To attract people to come to our church is to design the church and make it attractive. The Jesus that we are following is not attractive. He has no beauty that the reader, please.
He is despised and rejected of men.
Yes.
A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Uh-huh.
And we hid, as it were, our faces from him.
Uh-huh.
He was despised and we esteemed him not.
Oh.
Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God.
We are thinking that he committed something. That's why God was punishing him.
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
You see?
He was bruised for our iniquities.
You see?
The chastisement of our peace was upon him,
uh-huh,
and with his stripes we are
so
healed.
So when he will appear to you, after going through that verse 5, read it again.
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
So he will have wounds.
He was bruised.
He will have bruises all over him.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
And what?
And with his stripes.
Stripe of marks will be around him. The nails that they nail him, there will be marks all over him. That will be the identity of the Jesus we shall meet. That is why he will tell you that I am that one that hung on the cross. And you will see it and you believe it. Don't let that image be removed from you. It is that picture of that verse 5 that will make you fall in love with him. The true love of Christ will only come if you always have before you this picture of the sufferings on the cross. What do you call him? Thomas will not worship him until he saw it. When he saw the nails, that was when he bowed down and worshipped him. True worship will only be achieved the day you have this picture that I am the reason he suffered all he suffered. That is where we are going to meet him. Oh. He will come in glory. He came. He revealed himself. Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. And there must be something that made them remember. They started crying. We are finished. He said, no, you thought to do evil, but God used it to save lives. It's a picture of salvation. If he didn't die, I would not be saved today. He suffered that. Now, people, Christians are crying. Why am I? Why? Since I gave my life, nothing to show for it. Imagine I've been in ministry now for 26 years. Nothing to show for it. Nothing to show for it. Nothing to show for it. Not, God will judge all of you that talk like that. How can you say you have nothing to show for it? I have the nails of Jesus. I have the cross of Jesus to prove to you that this Jesus is alive. I have my life, the testimony of my conversion to prove it. I know who I was and I know who I am now after I met him. I am the evidence. I have something to show for it. I have my life to show for it. I have the peace of the Lord in me to show for it. I have a hope of salvation. When I talk to him, he answers me. When I call upon him, he hears me. He says, standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find Jesus. He's the one who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadow, you will find him there. How will you know him?
And you know him by the nail of wings in his hand.
I shall know him when I see him.
I shall know him.
I shall know him. As we lay by his side, I shall stand.
I shall know him.
I shall know him. I shall know him.
By the prints of the nails in his
hand. You will never know him by his designer cloth. That is the crisis today in the church of Jesus Christ. If he is the way, then that is what we are emphasizing, that we look at it. He was an example for us. He was the wave offering of God to us. He is the first begotten from the dead. He is our destiny helper. He is the one that will show us the way to eternity. For eternal life is in him. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin, my sin, the Adamic sin. And he's there still pleading for me. When I go carnal, I come repenting. His blood will speak for me. Hallelujah. But he came to earth here to set an example that every child of God, the same way he went through, is the same way we shall go through. The same way Satan tempted him is the same way Satan will tempt us. So we have lessons to learn from his own temptation. And we said, hallelujah, that it was immediately his sonship was confirmed in water baptism, that the whole world, Satan got to know, hey, now him be this. Now him be this. Satan knows everyone that is a seed of God among us. Immediately he came out of that water baptism. He was now led by the Holy Ghost. So the Bible says it is the Holy Ghost himself that led him to be tested. Let me tell you, church, I continue to emphasize this, that the worst thing that can happen to a minister of God, to a gifted brother, gifted sister, is that you are not born again, converted, before you begin to operate ministry. You will have problem. Before God will expose you to the world, he will prepare you in the wilderness. I repeat, he will prepare you in the wilderness. Why wilderness? It's a place where you feel forsaken, where no helper, a place of frustration and nobody is listening to you, nobody is understanding you, a place where you need help, there is no help coming. John went through the same wilderness. Moses had to go to the same wilderness. Israel too had to pass through the wilderness. Why did Israel pass through the wilderness? It was to achieve what is spoken in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness.
In the wilderness.
To humble thee.
This is the purpose. This is him preparing us, because God has pride. You came as an unbeliever with all manner of things. He has to take them away from your life to humble you.
And to prove thee.
To confirm whether the decision that you decided you will follow him to the promised land is true, or it is something else that is making you come to Christ.
To know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger.
He did what?
And fed
thee. He suffered his children to hunger.
And fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. That it might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live.
Oh. God is going to train all of us, like I stressed in my last sermon, so that you will depend on him and him alone. So that you will have confidence in his word. It was Christ, God himself, that led Christ where he will meet Satan. And the place to meet Satan is in your most difficult moments in life. He will come to whisper decisions that will make you, suggestions that will make you take decisions against the word of God. The wilderness is a place where you are on your own. You are on your own. It exposes you to all the dangers of the, all the temptations. And remember, Satan waited until he was very, very hungry. 40 days, no food. Very, very hungry. Was physically worn out. Then, he came in. He came with a device. What was the purpose of using that device? So that you that is hungry, you can satisfy your hunger with an illegal way, an unlawful way, contrary to the word of God, to satisfy that hunger. I stressed on it. And it came with the first temptation. The first temptation, as I stressed, please go back to the last sermon I preached, and I stress all this. He used doubt. To make, if thou be the Son of God, do a miracle. Turn stones to bread. Which doubt? You will die for nothing. No? He's hungry here now. You will die for nothing. No? Can God really love me and then make me suffer like this? No help are coming from anywhere. You better use what you have to get what you are looking for. You have the grace. You have the anointing. Since I cannot set up a church, if I can just use, let me go in evangelism. They call it ministry. The people will be coming every Thursday in the morning. Then I'll be using my gift. Then collect that and offering. Man must work now. Hallelujah. But I've stressed that miracle is not a confirmation of your sonship. Miracle, signs, and wonder is not what confirms whether you're a child of God or not. I've stressed that. That the gift that is given to us, that is what Satan wants to take your attention from. The gift is not for yourself. The gift is for ministry. Ministry is service. It's not for you. It's for people, not for you. You must understand that. Even Satan operates the same principle. Babalawo has something to make you rich, but he himself cannot use it to be rich. He will give you something that you will go and build houses, mansions, but he's living in the bush with mosquitoes and snakes. He knows the principle. So also, children of God, ministers, the gift we have is first for them. Of course, he will take care of them. Was manna not coming down when they were hungry? He will provide for you his own way. But not that you use the gift to get food to eat. No. But Satan will push you into that. It's a temptation to make you fall. If Jesus had used it for himself, it would have been disobedience to the word of God. He knew better. And so Jesus settles it with, man shall not live by bread alone. He quoted the word. He quoted the word of God to him. Hallelujah. It is dependence on God's word. We are to depend on God for our sustenance. No matter what, wait on him. Keep waiting on him. Concentrate on what God has called you to do. And he, God, will settle you. He's a rewarder of them that serve him. God does not owe anyone. He doesn't use anybody and dump you. And always remember that at the end of the temptations, the angels of God came to minister to Jesus. After he passed, it was, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it was after this temptation that he was proved that his ministry started. If you read down, you discover that it was after the end of the temptation that his ministry started. He started calling his disciples. After that he began miracles, signs, and wonders. He had escaped. But remember that Satan only left him for a while. The Bible says so. Praise the Lord. Then he came for the second temptation. What is the second temptation? Matthew 11 from verse 5.
Matthew 4 from verse 5.
Matthew 4 verse 5.
Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
So what did he do? We don't know the time difference, not shown. We don't know whether it was immediate. After the first temptation, we don't know whether he waited small, then came, or it was just from here, you felt the next one. But whatever it is, after his inability, failing to make Jesus disobey the word of God, disobey the will of God concerning him, he only changed tactics. Satan will not come like he came before. He will change his tactics. He now took him to the temple. And the temple in Israel, the pinnacle is the highest point in Israel. He set him up there in the temple and said this. Took him high. If thou be the Son of God, what did he say? Cast thyself down. And he quoted the Bible for him. Since you say you shall be read the Bible, have you? Let me also quote for you. And what he was quoting was true. Psalm 91, verse 11 and verse 12. That's why he was quoting for Satan.
For Jesus. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone.
Hey, can you see? The Bible says so. Throw yourself down. Angels will just make you fall down. You won't enjoy yourself. So you say you will live by every word that comes out from the mouth of God. Oh yeah, see the word of God here. What did he aim to achieve? It was making him to test the protective power of God. To test whether God's protective care is around him. Let me know whether true. After all, the Bible says, we take any deadly thing, it will not hurt us. Oh yeah, bring sulfuric acid. Bring your top up here. I want to confirm this word. Meanwhile, it is a spirit that spoke to you to confirm it. Then you will drink it to see whether it will work or not. That was what he wanted to achieve. All he was trying to achieve is for Christ to confirm the efficacy of the word of God. What did he want to achieve so that Satan will be disgraced? If you fall like that, you will die, you will injure, you will break your bones. Satan knows that is what will happen. And once you are able to fall down like that, you will either die because he comes to steal and kill. You will either physically die, or your faith in God will be completely killed. So God could not protect me when I stand to demonstrate his word. This word of God is not true. This word of God is not true. We are called to believe the word of God and not to test God. We are not to confirm, we are to obey. We are to conform, not to confirm. We are to believe, not to confirm whether the word of God is true or not, whether God exists or not. If it doesn't exist, then who met you the day you gave your life to Christ? Who has been answering your prayers? Who has been doing things all around you? Who has been keeping you alive? And before you know what, you say, I don't preach again. Before you know what, I have seen them. You have seen them in the internet. Say, there is no God. If there is a God, then why are people like this? If there is God, then why did he allow my husband to die? If there is God, then why did my father die? When he has been calling upon God, if he can get you to that level. But Jesus quoted another scripture for him. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You are not to test. Your faith is supposed to be childlike faith. Childlike faith. In Matthew 18 from verse 1 to 4. Matthew 18.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus.
Yes, saying, listen very well.
Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Uh-huh.
And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say,
who did he call?
A little child.
He called a little child. Listen very well. Tap your neighbor. Say, listen very well. Don't be afraid. Touch him. Don't be afraid. Touch him. If he touch him, he shock you. The electric fish.
I said, verse 3. Verily I say unto you.
Because I'm rounding up.
Except ye be converted and become as little children.
Now, if you are a Bible student and you truly want spiritual growth, when you come across this scripture, you will pause. You say what? Read it again.
Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted.
Except that evidence of your conversion, you will become as
little children.
Therefore, start studying how little children, the character of little children, that is how you're expected to relate with God. There are parents here. Identity of a child. You are a teacher. Give a microphone. The characteristics. Name the one you know about children that Christians can learn from.
Children have good hearts.
Eh?
They don't record wrongs.
Go ahead. They don't record wrongs.
They trust.
They don't record wrongs. Hey, sister. Hey, you know now when your husband offends you, you will start from 20 years ago. All the bad thing where he do. The man could look you like this. This woman, don't they forget? They don't forget. You must forget though. And it is easy to forget. If you stop thinking of something, speaking of something, it will fade away. Go ahead.
They trust Israel.
They trust easily.
They trust easily. I see them every day. Very generous.
Very, very generous.
When they bring something to school, they rush to me. They give me their biscuits.
Can you see?
Yes. They also love.
They love.
And
no hatred. They settle their problems easily.
Yes.
They fight for field. Now, in the next 2 minutes, they are molding block together.
They are concerned about what is happening to their fellow children.
They are always concerned. Why are you like this?
Even if you want to cane a child, you see the others crying.
You see, you are caning one of them. Oh, the others will gather and be crying. They cry to join the other to cry.
And they are easily corrected.
Very easily corrected.
Once they do something and they see they offend you, when they're expecting sanction,
yes,
they will start telling you that they will not do it.
They begin to ask for forgiveness.
Yes, they will
ask for forgiveness. That is how Christ said all of us must be with our God. That must be the character of a Christian. Pick it. Anything less than that, you wouldn't enjoy the kingdom of God. You wouldn't enjoy it. Psalm 131 brought out the picture there. From verse 1, 2, and 3.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Who?
Go ahead.
Okay, 131.
131.
Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor listen, my eyes lofty.
Listen, my heart is not haughty,
nor my eyes
lofty.
Neither do I exercise myself in great matters.
I'm very humble.
or in things too high for me.
Uh-huh.
Surely I have behaved and quieted myself.
Verse 2 is my emphasis. What did he say?
Surely I have behaved and quieted myself.
Uh-huh.
As a child that
is weaned of his mother.
My soul is even as a weaned child.
My soul is as a weaned child. Listen. A child, let me define this. A child that is weaned of his mother, listen. A child that is not yet weaned. A child that is not yet weaned. See the difference? If that child is not yet weaned of the mother, you know, a child derives strength from the mother's breast. A child, when he's hungry, runs to the mother to suck breast to receive strength. So, always want to be around the mother for food. Listen, a child not yet weaned embraces his mother with the thought of food and immediate satisfaction. But a weaned child embraces his mother out of a desire for love, closeness, and companionship. I repeat, a child that is not yet weaned, the reason he's embracing the mother is for the food he will get to eat. But now that the child is weaned, the reason he still remains gone to the mother, it is something else, no more food. He's not embracing the mother because of food. He's not embracing the mother because the child desires the love of the mother. The child desires closeness with the mother. Wants a companionship of the mother. That is the reason. We are now weaned, our maturity. The reason now we must be like that weaned child is that we now embrace God to enjoy his love. Because that is the only place we receive true love. We want to be close to him. We want to have fellowship with him, because once we're disconnected from him, we no longer feel safe. That is the child life faith. That is why in Isaiah 28, verse 7 and verse 8, it says,
but they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The prince,
verse 8. Go to verse 8.
For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness.
All tables, the Christian faith now, that is the estate spiritually looking, talking.
So that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge?
Who is going to be taught knowledge, revelation now?
And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?
Who is going to understand doctrine?
Them that are weaned from the milk and
those
drawn from the breast.
Those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Those that are no longer coming to God for the food that we eat. They are the only ones that would be so dependent on God, there will be no need to tempt him for anything. Don't let Satan tempt you under any condition. Don't tempt God. Don't test him. God hates it. You will crash for nothing. He will stand and look at you. You don't believe my word. You don't have enough evidence of my presence around you. You want to confirm. You want to test to see whether I love you. You want to test whether I will not leave you comfortless. You don't believe my word that says that in that temptation you are going through, I will make a way of escape. You don't believe the story that I am a way maker. You don't believe that I am the mighty one in battle. You don't believe that I can fight for you. Why are you testing me? Remember, we are called to believe and not to confirm. not to ask, not to test. We say test to unbelievers, come and test our God. But we have already confirmed, what are we testing again? Therefore, don't let Satan push you to an estate where you have problem with God and destroy your faith and even end up dying. Somebody, you know, they say you will pick up serpents and it will not hurt you. I saw it is in the net. And the man will bring snakes. Then they will carry snakes, be dancing, be playing with it in their church. And one of them, snake, bite him. He said, oh, he said, it will not hurt us. And I saw it there. The snake went back and I saw it there. They collapsed there. The poison killed him there while he was worshiping.
Yes, sir.
I think it's in America also. Okay, they say in Ibadan. One of my way village people, they follow. He said, we prove to them. The Bible says in the millennium, he said, we are now in the millennium. That you will stay with animal, with lion, it will not hurt you. He went to zoo in Ibadan. I went to the den of lion. Hungry lion. Where they never feed them for a long time. He said, oh, I never knew you will answer me this way. He jumped inside the cage and became the lunch for those lions. God didn't send us to do that. God didn't send us to do that. We do that to unbelievers when we evangelize. We do that for people to have faith sometimes. So that we will have faith. Not to prove that I am something. That I am a son of God. Because he said, if thou be a son of God. No. That is why it's good to stay close to the word of God. That's why it's good to embrace the love of God. I don't need to confirm that he is my God to you by anything. I told you, when Abraham he gave a testimony. One man was telling him, you take to yourself too much. You claim this, you claim that, you claim this, you claim that. And was pushing him, and pushing him, and pushing him. Confirm that you're a Christian. Confirm that you're a Christian. And he told him, he said, but you know who I was before now. Shall we grow up together? If it's before, wait, carry your hand, they choke me. You know, by now, the evidence that I'm a Christian is that your teeth is still complete. That is enough. You know now. And it's true. Hallelujah. It's true. The test of who you are. The test. Listen very well. I hope I can put it very well. For those who like to write nuggets. That the test of your true personality is that you have opportunity that you will do what you do in the secret is what you can also do in the open. The test of who you are is that what you cannot do in the open, you will resist it in the secret. Where no man is seeing you. Just a little signing something in your office can give you millions. Nobody will know, but you refuse to do it. That is where you truly discover who you are. Because another person will sign it and nobody will know. And you were not doing it to prove anything to anybody. You were just doing it because you feel this is who you are. Who you are in the secret is who you are in the open. And that will come with a great grace, ability to resist temptation. And that is when Satan can be defeated in your life. I say this so that you will know why Jesus said, watch and pray. said, resist Satan. And he will do what? The only thing that will make Satan flee from you is if you know your scriptures. If you know God's will. That's why he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the will of God is the Bible. And that is how Jesus expects every one of us to pass and escape this second device of Satan using his second temptation. Every one of us undergo it. May God give us the grace to overcome that temptation in the name of Jesus. Can we stand up? Next week, we will look at the third temptation.